The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For those of you who I've not met before, my name is Andrea. Is it on? Great. So I wanted to explore the terrain of thought, the impact thought has on us, and how we can explore this terrain skillfully, using thought essentially, skillfully in our practice, what I would call reflective or contemplative practice. But first, to just say a few words about just, you know, thoughts are so incredibly powerful that we're not so aware of this at times, just how potent thoughts can be in our minds, how much of an impact they have on us. We may get an inkling of it when we're sitting in meditation and then our minds wander off in thought, as I referred to in the guided meditation. When we wake up, when we come back, often wherever the mind has wandered has created some kind of landscape. You know, we've wandered off into thinking about a conversation we had with somebody 3 days ago, and when our mindfulness comes back, we're experiencing some of the same feelings that we were experiencing in that conversation. And so this is a kind of a pointer to the impact that thoughts have on us. We're sitting quietly, perhaps. Maybe we're a little bit settled. There's some ease and peace in the system. Maybe a little bit of that, and then the mind goes off into thought, and we come back, and it's like a completely different experience. This is a pointer to the impact that thoughts have on us. And because of our relationship in that way, in meditation, that often when our mind wanders, it tends to wander based on our habitual patterns and habits, and those can tend to be based in greed, aversion, and delusion. And so often when our minds wander in meditation, they tend to wander into places that create tension and stress in our bodies. And so we have a relationship to thought that think thoughts are the problem. And it's not so much that thoughts are a problem. It is that we are unaware, and there's a couple of pieces, that we're unaware when we're thinking, and that we're not aware of how thoughts kind of interplay with the rest of our system. So we need to bring some awareness to that. And also that we can begin to recognize that certain kinds of thoughts, I mean, the Buddha in exploring thoughts began to look at, well, these thoughts aren't so useful. These thoughts actually create stress and harm in my system, and these thoughts head in a helpful direction. And so maybe I can let go of these thoughts and bring these thoughts in more. In fact, there was one sutta where the Buddha said, you know, so he was kind of categorizing thoughts into two kinds. He's like, these thoughts are based in ill will and cruelty and in sense desire, and they lead to struggle in my mind. So that's not so helpful. And these thoughts are based in compassion and kindness and renunciation, and those are helpful. He said, you know, I could think those thoughts all day and all night and no harm would come. And then he said, and yet thinking itself is agitating. And so there's times when it's useful to even let go of those kinds of thoughts. And so learning a relationship to thought is useful. When is it useful to think thoughts? What kinds of thoughts is it useful to think? And when is it useful to let go of thought? So to point you to the kind of potency that thoughts have, I thought I'd do a little bit of a, let's do a little exercise here. So we'll just take a minute to reconnect with the present moment and how are you in this present moment. So closing your eyes and maybe taking a couple of breaths and letting your Body relax. Letting your mind relax. And being aware of how you are in this moment. How is the body? How is your state of mind? Just a simple way, noticing how you are. And now I'm going to drop some words into your meditation. And don't try to do anything with these words. Just notice what happens in your system. What happens to your body? What happens to your state of mind? As I say these words, and I'll say a few. Anxiety. Confusion. Resistance. Allowing. Friendliness. Peace. And so I'm curious, let's just take a couple of minutes to see if anybody's willing to share what happened for you. And we'll use the mics. Anybody willing to say a few words about what you noticed in that little reflection?
It was interesting to me how different words quite automatically were associated with a set of physical sensations, and I didn't realize that it was also so crystal clear. And more on a personal note, it was interesting for me. I have like stomach problems, and when you said anxiety, it's like exactly when it hurts, I'm like, yeah, I wonder if that's linked. It was just interesting.
So you noticed kind of each of the words had a different kind of physical response to it. Very kind of clear difference. Yeah. Is it? And that, is that surprising?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by that it was that crystal clear.
Yeah, and you know, this is a real pointer to just how impactful words are. I mean, this is a single word. I dropped six words into your experience, and some of you probably had six very different experiences. And just imagine, you know, It's not only when somebody else says words, and so this is how a news report is going to impact you. This is how taking in somebody's words. The words have a very strong impact on us. And so it's just, you know, thinking about listening to the news or listening to the radio, you know, that's a whole stream of words. You know, I gave you six. And so, you know, just how potent a force words are. And then there's the force of our own inner words, you know, the words that we drop into our mind. They have a very similar impact on us, like seeing how the thoughts, as our minds wander, the construction of something there. So it's, you know, this is a pointer to just how powerful thoughts are. And this is not, it's not that we're trying to stop this from happening, because we're probably not going to be able to stop it from happening. But to recognize that as we're going around our day, you know, even just hearing somebody in the grocery store line in front of us say some words, whew, can have an impact on us. You know, to be aware of this impact is really helpful. You know, we might, if we're not so aware of that, we may hear those few words, and then go off and you know, suddenly realize, gee, I'm feeling a little agitated here. Wonder what that's about. And, you know, we'll construct something, not having really seen it begin, perhaps, in hearing that conversation. So understanding that cause and effect relationship supports us. So thank you. Anyone else willing to share something of what you noticed?
I'd like to actually share a reflection on the impact of the words that you just shared. So reflection on the reflection.
Yeah, great.
As I was hearing that, just like this, the truth of the idea that words have this huge impact on us just brought this like joy to my heart, because yesterday I had three separate, really long, really in-depth kind of informational interviews on the phone with folks, kind of exploring towards, in the direction of where I want to go with my life. And there was a lot of deep resonance and excitement around these ideas. And then I tried to go to sleep early for an interview that I was supposed to have this morning at a bakery, doing a completely different thing than those things I got excited about. And the body could not relax. It couldn't calm down. It couldn't sleep. And it was like my body had taken in the resonance of these words from these people about these potential explorations on my path. And it was just so out of alignment with what I was about to do that the body just like wouldn't sleep. It was like, nope, we can't do this. We can't do this. And eventually I just had to like surrender and like notice
this is what's happening.
This is what's happening. It can't sleep, and we're not doing the interview, and I am going to cancel it right now. And this is a clear message. But I was confused as to, you know, how that
had happened.
Yeah, how that had happened. And I was just like, and now just hearing you, there's just so much joy and like a moment of clarity of understanding that could have very well been part of it, these hours and hours of discussing these totally different paths that feel resonant in the body.
Yes, so. Beautiful, yeah. And this is, it's so, as I said, it's so helpful to recognize this. It's like, you know, we need to understand how our minds work, and then we can work within that and begin also to use thoughts skillfully. You know, begin to explore ways that we can actually harness the power of thought to head us in skillful directions. What does this little note say? Ah, yes. So here, sometimes when we explore this connection between thought and the impact thoughts have on us, our movement might be something like, you know, like we're meditating, and And our mind has gone off into thinking about something about the past or maybe something about the future. And we get excited or we get frustrated or we get angry or confused in the churning of all of those thoughts. And then we might, in returning back, have this relationship that says something like, well, that's not real. Those thoughts aren't real. They were just a mental in the mind thing. And so, you know, I should just come back to the breath. But the impact that thoughts have is real and present in our present moment. And so to kind of try to skip over that impact and say, well, those thoughts aren't real. I shouldn't be having these feelings. It's like, well, look again. You are having these feelings, and they are happening. And so opening to that. So that's a piece I really want to stress, that, you know, we, while the thoughts, especially, you know, we may have, I remember at one point I was in a relationship and I would imagine things that this person would do, and then I'd get angry, you know, and they weren't anything that the person had actually done, but, you know, still the anger was there, and partly because, you know, those kinds of things were similar to things the person had done, and so, you know, it was the mind kind of constructing possibilities. And so, you know, one relationship to that would be to say, well, they haven't happened, so I shouldn't feel this anger. Well, they haven't happened, and it's useful to recognize those thoughts are not true thoughts. But the feeling in this moment is a true feeling. It is what has happened as a result of that. So it's useful to recognize, you know, as thoughts arise and they have this impact on us, you know, what is, it's useful to recognize whether those thoughts are, do bear any relationship to reality, because sometimes they don't. And that can help us to support meeting the response and recognizing that, well, this response is actually more about some, perhaps something else, some other. Like for me, for instance, with that example, with that person, the reaction wasn't so much about the thoughts, but it was more about the relationship that I had with that person and my lack of trust in that person and how they were going to be behaving. And so, you know, we can drop underneath the thoughts and touch into something a little more actual. But the response that we have is, it is happening. And so even if the thoughts that are happening are, you know, they are just thoughts in our mind, but we can't just dismiss the response because the thoughts are just thoughts. I think we should be able to do that. Well, they're just thoughts. They're not true. You know, I should be able to let this go, but that doesn't necessarily happen. So again, this is some of the power that thoughts have. They create their generative force, and they create something actually happening in the present moment. One of our challenges is to distinguish that response in the present moment, which is true, which is happening, from whether the thoughts are representative of reality. So that's an interesting kind of exploration. So we can explore and recognize kind of just how thoughts impact us with mindfulness. A very useful practice to see, you know, what does our mind do with thoughts and how does that impact us, and explore with mindfulness the impact of those thoughts. That's what I would like to encourage, is that when we notice that there's an impact of thought, that we check into, you know, that we explore in the body, how is that? How is that experience? That we explore how it constructs emotions. What are the feelings? What are the emotions related? What other thoughts come in as a result of that? So noticing the constructing power of what our thoughts are and how does it impact our present moment experience. And we can also use thought in combination with mindfulness and wisdom, to support our practice. Maybe you got a taste of that a little bit with when I dropped in the words allowing, friendliness, and peace. And what happened? What happened in those? Was there a what happened? Just curious. What happened with those words for you? Yeah.
Well, I was kind of struck and amazed by the difference when just paying attention to, as you suggested, the subtle bodily feelings between those three words and other more agitating words like anxiety and confusion. It was a dramatic difference that some of those agitating words caused tightness, and I could feel muscle tightness that I am usually just kind of ignoring. And when I heard the words allowing and peace, friendliness, things just opened up and created space. It was a very dramatic.
Yeah, and so this is a pointer to how thoughts can also support moving us in a direction of more openness and spaciousness. And so sometimes at the beginning of a meditation, yeah, you know, doing the relaxation, it doesn't often take that long to get to a place where those kinds of words can have an impact on us. And so sometimes it's useful to begin our practice with just a little bit of an orientation in that way. It's like, okay, you know, not trying to construct something, but it's more like saying, okay, system, here we are, settled in, connected. How do you resonate with the word allowing right now? You know, just and see what happens. Does it create a container in which the mind can be a little bit more open, a little bit more present? And so we can use that at the beginning of our practice. I wouldn't spend your entire meditation, because it can easily move into the trying to construct, right? It can very easily move into, okay, I want to be peaceful, so let me peace, 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 peace. Let me say peace to myself over and over again. And just the intention or the motivation behind it is agitating, so that the word doesn't quite have that kind of impact. So it's much more of a dropping in. Sometimes I encourage people to drop in, even just like, may the body relax. You know, but it's more like a request, or it's more like a, okay, you know, organism, okay, system, you know, are you ready to receive this word? Or what are you willing to show me about this word? What are you willing to show me about relax? I'll just sit here and we'll see what's available. So that kind of practice can be interesting to explore at the beginning of our sitting, or even sometimes as we've moved in to a sitting, moved into a more settled space at times. We can orient to friendliness or compassion or just, you know, dropping in those words. So that's one way that we can use words skillfully in our practice. And sometimes actually words appear, skillful words appear in our practice. You know, we're meditating and it's like we're not doing it, but suddenly the mind will say something, oh, it's okay, it's just fear, you know. And it's not like I tried to think that thought, but it's a thought of wisdom that creates a space of allowing. And so sometimes those thoughts will appear, and if we're just noticing them as thoughts, you know, they do have a possibility of creating a little bit more space for us if we're opening to the impact that they have, and not just saying, oh, thinking, come back to the breath. We're just recognizing, oh, you know, okay, it is just fear. Can I be with that? The Buddha also talked about reflection quite a bit in the suttas. He used the power of our intelligence in the practice. There are many places, and one of the most famous places where he talked about reflection was in this teaching to his 7-year-old son. And it started, it kind of began, this part of the teaching began with him asking, "So what's a mirror for, Rahula?" And Rahula says, "For reflection. You know, to reflect ourselves." And the Buddha said, you know, and we need to reflect. We need to look at ourselves, reflect on how our actions are going to be impacting ourselves and others. He said, we need to reflect before we do something. How is this going to create struggle and suffering for myself or for another person? So using that orientation, that reflection, using that thinking, is this a harmful thing to do? Is this something that's going to create affliction for myself or another? If it is, he said, don't do it. He says, if you reflect and you don't see that it's going to create affliction, go ahead and do it. But then he says, while you're doing it, check in. Is this creating affliction? Is it creating struggle or stress for yourself or another? If it is, stop. If it's not, continue. After you have done something, reflect back. Did that action create struggle, suffering for yourself or another? If it did, undertake restraint in the future. I would add, make amends. The Buddha adds, lay it open to someone wise, you know, so basically confession or, you know, acknowledging it publicly, acknowledging it to another person. I did this thing to somebody that you trust. And I would say potentially make amends, although making amends is, we can talk about that another time. It's a complex thing. Sometimes the making amends, we have to take care that the making amends is not more for ourselves than for the other person. You know, that sometimes we want to make amends so that we can feel better, and it may actually have a harmful impact on the other person, and so we have to take care. In that, we need to reflect about making amends. Is that going to create harm or suffering for self or other? And so the Buddha encouraged his son in this simple way. And it's a teaching that a 7-year-old can understand. And yet it's such a challenging teaching to do this kind of reflection. One teacher, I think part of the reason why it's challenging is that there's especially afterwards, you know, when we've done something. There's a strong tendency in our culture, especially towards guilt and self-recrimination when we see we've done something that's created harm. And so we often don't want to go there. We don't want to reflect back on those things. We just kind of want to move on. And so there's this piece of how do we create the conditions so that we can skillfully reflect on things that haven't been so skillful. How do we do that? And one teacher offered a reminder or a set of tools, the 4 R's for doing this kind of practice. And she says, relax, reflect, or relax, review, reflect, and resolve. So she said, before you do this, it's really helpful to relax. You know, so she even suggested, this is Annie Nugent, a teacher I teach with at IMS in the fall, and she said, you know, put yourself in a comfortable situation, you know, get a cup of tea or sit in a warm bath, you know, that doesn't work so well in California, but, you know, get yourself in a comfortable situation where you feel like you can relax, and intentionally let yourself know, okay, I am going to be reviewing my day, you know, thinking back on the day. But from this place of relaxation and from this place of, okay, the point here is to learn, not to judge. The point here is to see what kind of understanding can come rather than to judge myself. And so reviewing the day, think back over the day. What happened? Where did you struggle? Do you remember anything that there's a little bit of a ouch about, either for yourself, something you did that created a struggle for yourself, or something you did that might have created a struggle for somebody else, a slip in saying something that might have been an ouch for somebody else? So just review your day, and then reflect both on the ways in which the Dharma supported you during your day and the ways in which you lost that support, where your mind got caught by something. Can you understand? Can you recognize, oh yeah, I was caught by fear there. Oh, I was caught by confusion. I was really unclear when I said that. Or I was caught by pride. I really wanted to get my point across. So just to kind of allow yourself to recognize, so reflecting from a Dharma perspective, what was going on? What did I miss? Did I miss something? Another useful thing that can be a question to reflect on at that time is, what beliefs was I acting from? Not only what feelings was I responding from, but what beliefs were going on? Did I think I was right? Did I think something had to happen? What kind of beliefs were happening there? Beliefs are kind of at a deeper level in a way than emotions. You know, often our beliefs are a little deeper, harder to touch into. And then resolve. Resolving to explore, take what you've learned in this reflection to help you meet similar difficulties in the future. This kind of reflection and checking in, potentially in checking in that you might look at if there was harm created to somebody else, is there something I feel like I need to say or do in amends? So relax, review, reflect, resolve. And I'd like to explore kind of how this works. We'll do this kind of more specifically than just a general reflection over your day, but we'll just do a kind of a little guided exercise here where we'll take you through this possibility. And so we'll start by just letting yourself relax and taking a few breaths. Letting yourself connect. To your body. And this reflection is going to use a lot of what we've talked about already today. And so, remembering that we're exploring this from a perspective of mindfulness, exploring staying present as much as possible. And so, calling to mind sometime during the past week or so, during which you felt some kind of a sense of struggle, some interchange or some event in which the mind got caught in some way. And if you're thinking back and you're finding a few, I'll just give you a few moments, about 30 seconds or so, to just land on one. Let's just choose one. And now take a moment to see, how are you in this moment just having recollected that experience? Taking a breath. Seeing if you can allow that, whatever's arisen, to be there. And now we're going to use a few more thoughts. So let yourself recall that situation, that event fully. Recall some details of where you were, what you were doing, how you were situated, whether you were with somebody or not, what they were saying and doing, what you were saying and doing. Any moods or emotions you were feeling at the time. And while you're creating this recollection, see if you can also, at the same time, notice how it impacts you now to do this. What body sensations are happening now as a result of bringing this recollection to mind? What emotions are happening now? Are there other thoughts that are kind of coming in? See if you can bring some interest to the exploration of the here and now-ness of what this recollection has created in your system right now. It's an opportunity to learn. So seeing if there can be a releasing of self-judgment or resistance. Keep checking into your body, mind right now. Is there some aspect of this experience that you can learn from? Your present moment experience might support a kind of an understanding of that. What can I learn from in this experience? And again, keeping track of how your body, your mind are right now. And at this point now, let go of the specific image of the recollection, the specific, however you've constructed that in your mind. Take in again what's still resonating. It's like we've been a bell and we've been struck. How is this resonating right now in our system? How are we right now? It's really more fully coming into the now-ness, the here-ness of experience. And our reflection is going to take a different direction right now. And so reflect now on how mindfulness practice might support you in a situation in this way. A situation similar to this. How mindfulness might support you. What Dharma perspectives might have been supportive? A perspective of impermanence, perhaps, or a recognition of causes and conditions leading to experience. And notice how you are here and now as you reflect on how the Dharma might support you. How is that? And then, for the last minute or so of this reflection, take some time to see if there's any questions you might have that would help you, or questions that you might have that would support your learning around this. So how was that? Anyone willing to share? What did you notice? What did you learn?
It made me face difficult things and things that I'm aware of, kind of. But a lot of energy was being put into running away from it. So I could see that now, how much little things even leading up to the incident that day, or certainly the hour or two beforehand, of resistance to what was coming up in me or things I needed to look at.
So seeing how those were maybe conditions that
correct.
Led to
that. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And so earlier on, leaning into the resistance or leaning into what I'm avoiding.
Uh-huh. Turning towards.
Turning towards, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Not seeing, oh, that's not a big deal, let me just, yeah. I mean, sometimes we, with smaller things,
right.
We think, oh, I can just, like, ignore that.
Well, it's like, I know I'm distracting myself, but that's okay. And I'll distract, and I have a better idea of how to distract myself from
yeah.
not looking at these things.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it's in my face. So it's just more of a, kind of a rationalizing, I guess.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing initially the discomfort as being an invitation to lean into
yeah.
what's behind that urge to distract and avoid.
Yeah, yeah, and it's also useful to see sometimes, I mean, how those smaller things are kind of, in the small, a reflection of what happens in the large, and when we can meet it.
Oh, they're
in
no
small.
Different.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wouldn't even call the earlier part small.
Uh-huh.
It didn't involve other people.
I see.
So okay. It was easier to.
I see. Uh-huh. So that's an important piece.
To
right?
pretend that it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the inner experience of the avoidance and what was being avoided is the same throughout, and is actually
that's what's hard to be with right now.
Yeah.
And coming up, it's like, oh, like I really need to face this head on.
Yeah.
And not just pretend it's a little thing.
Do you feel that this reflection offered you some tools or some learning that might support that?
Well, I think the main thing is my word of leaning into it.
Uh-huh.
So just making myself look at it and address it. And then the avoidance comes up. Do the opposite actions that I'm avoiding.
Yeah, I would keep that soft,
right.
The turning towards. I even might even use the word turn towards instead of lean in.
Well, the lean in feels soft to me because
okay,
that's kind of a, yeah, that's as opposed to my former style.
Yeah. Jump in, dive in, force
leaning in. Leaning in is just a nudge. It's a moving
softer,
towards.
Yeah.
That's what
okay.
I kind of mean. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes leaning in has more
on.
Of a pressing kind of feeling. So,
yeah, no, that's not what I mean.
So again, we even need to take care with the words we use in our minds.
Right.
You know, how do they resonate for us? So for some, leaning in might be soft and open, and for some, leaning in might be... So noticing that, you know, how do those words that we use, practice words use, impact us? Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah.
One thing I saw was that I had a situation with someone where I had asked them, I was going to ask them if they wanted to do something with me, and it would have worked better if this person was doing something else. It was kind of contingent on if she was doing another thing, how well it, and I asked her first if she was doing this other thing, and she said no. And I said, oh, well, never mind. I started. She was like, no, tell me. And so I did. And so from this kind of misunderstanding ensued. And so I saw, number one, that maybe I could follow my first instinct and not ask her, or better explain why I wasn't asking her. And then I could have been clear, but a lot of my distress was caused. I basically saw I didn't do anything wrong, really. My intentions were good,
and that's useful also, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I did make a mistake, perhaps, but it's not that I did it was doing it wrong. It's more that it's something I didn't understand.
Yeah,
and that's a beautiful recollection. It's like, oh yeah, my intentions were good, but I didn't understand this piece. So I can carry that understanding now.
Yeah, and a lot of my distress is just based on like a people-pleasing thing, because this person is very dear, and I think she was a little upset or hurt, or it might have been her ego hurt, or my projection that it was. So a lot of my distress is projecting things onto her, and that she was upset.
Yeah.
Possibly more than she is, quite possibly. So.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else want to share something? So this tool of reflection, in this case, we dropped in a particularly challenging situation and said, you know, what can I learn from this? But this tool of using thought and being mindful while we call something into our minds is a much more generally useful tool. It can be used in so many ways. You know, if you have a decision to make, for instance, you can use this kind of a tool to, it's like create in your mind. I would suggest before you move into the reflective place, if you have a decision that you are exploring, that you frame a question for yourself around a decision. You know, how would it be if I choose that? And let yourself, then just land with that question, maybe creating an image of what it might be to choose that. And then feeling into how the body is, how the heart is, how the mind is around that. And so it brings the capacity of our mind to think and to reflect, and the capacity of our hearts to be present. Because so much, I think, there's a lot available, a lot more. We often think we have to make decisions from our rational, intellectual mind. But there's a lot of information available kind of below our rational, intellectual mind that can come into play when we bring mindfulness to bear on it. And so, you know, dropping in a question, oh, what about that? You know, how might it be to make that decision? And let yourself fully go there and see how you are with that. And then maybe do that for a few days in a row. And then the next, after a few days, try the other side on, you know, another side of the decision, and try that one on. And let it's not that we're expecting or looking for some big, you know, aha, you know, oh, here's the answer. But it's kind of allowing a broader part of our being to be included in the exploration of our decisions. It can be used, this kind of a tool can be used to reflect on a particular Dharma theme or a Dharma topic. At one point, I used this kind of a tool to explore. I was curious about it was very early, it was pretty early in my practice, and I'd been hearing a lot about ethics and sila, and I was curious for myself, what was my relationship to that teaching? And so I chose the question, what are the benefits of sila? What are the benefits of ethics? And I spent a couple of weeks just dropping that question in and seeing what bubbled up. Seeing what emotions bubbled up, seeing what thoughts bubbled up. I've told this story before, but the very first time I tried this, the first thing that bubbled up was loneliness. And that was like confusing. It's like, what is that, you know? And what I suggest for this kind of reflection too often is, you know, if you're reflecting on something more broad, like a Dharma theme or a decision, you might use the same question to reflect on for a number of days in a row. And after you've done the reflection, take some time to write down what you noticed. And so I did this for a couple of weeks. I think I still have those notes, you know, what I noticed. And I didn't try to judge or decide or figure anything out. I just like, okay, you know, loneliness is what I noticed when I dropped that question in. And there were other things over the next couple of weeks. And after a couple of weeks, I went back and then took that information and let myself think about it. I let myself read my notes and let myself be present while I was reading my notes. And at that point, the understanding arose is, oh, I see. When I'm not engaged with ethics, there's a separation between myself and others, and that can create loneliness. So, you know, this tool that I've offered or explored with you today, it's much more generally useful. It's incredibly useful in terms of exploring how we can reflect or how we can work with struggle in our lives and how we can work with thoughts and the contents of our thoughts. And, you know, there's a lot of struggle going on out there in the world right now. And so I wanted to address something that met this place of content and mindfulness. So may it be of use. May it be of service. Thank you.